Welcome to The Process with Mitch Tasker and Josh Shoebridge. This week we're going to be talking about the duties of manhood, how parenting can do what parents do, and how we can move forward. Good afternoon, good evening, and good week. You're listening to The Process podcast with Mitch Tasker and Josh Shoebridge. Mitch, you're not near me today. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, travelling. Taskers are on the road.
And how is it?
Yeah, beautiful, mate. Like shorts and t-shirt and beautiful day today. So first day. So yeah, loving it.
That's the one. So whereabouts are you currently?
We are in Coffs Harbour at the minute.
So that would have been a hot ticket up there. When you left yesterday, was it? Or the day before?
Yeah. No, we left Friday night.
Yeah.
And then drove through the night and got up here sort of, in the morning. Oh, yeah, like mid-morning yesterday.
Well, that's fantastic. Mm. And what's the weather like?
Oh, beautiful, mate. Like, literally been in shorts and a t-shirt all day today and just had a little, we just scooted down the local sort of jetty, which is a bit of a hub in Coffs. Like, there's lots of, cafes and seafood places and, it's a really, really good outlook, like, just a nice place to walk around and scoot and beach and whatever. So yeah, we just went down there in the arvo and I was like, oh, should I take a jumper? And it was like 3 o'clock and I was like, no. And then it's beautiful.
Now I remember when we were there a couple of years ago, I think some of the best fish and chips I've ever had were up at Coffsy.
Oh yeah, it's epic. Like literally where we were was like some of the, I was watching the people walk out with their little Sunday arvo snacks and I was like, oh man, that looks so good. definitely hit that up over the next few days.
That's it. You don't count the calories on a holiday, do you?
No, that's it. That don't count.
So you've travelled up with the fam, everyone in the van that we're normally recording at.
We just picked up our home and left for the week, for a few weeks.
Yeah. How have you found... I don't know, it's going into the topic of today, but do you feel that your parenting style changes when you go on holiday?
No, I don't think so. No, it's all same. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, I wouldn't say it's a different environment, but it's certainly, it's testing, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I can understand that because you've got... They're bored in the car. They probably want something from the caravan and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more just like they think that, because we're on a holiday, they just get whatever they want, whenever they want. And, you sort of got to try and get some sort of routine. Routine's the wrong word, but just, still have a decent, decent food and, some sort of structure, and then if we have a little bit of fun in between, that's all good. But as long as the sort of, keeping it down, within reason. We're still on holiday. You don't want to be sort of, it's not, you don't come on a holiday to save money, basically.
No. So
it's sort of, it is a fun time, and we just got to keep it light and not too serious, and but as long as the kids are being, well behaved within reason, and at the end of the day, good people.
Yes.
It doesn't take much to to be a good person, and at the end of the day, that's I like to see my kids in environments that are different, which lets them exercise their skills in being a good person, in and around other people, being considerate, and not only to their own brothers and sisters, but also other people around the caravan park, or when we're moving around or doing whatever.
No, I agree with that 100%, because you think about it, you're going to love your kids no matter what, but you want to like your kids, and you want your kids to be likeable by other people.
100%. It's massive for me.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's why if I ever hear a story about my kids mucking up or doing something, I cringe.
Absolutely.
Because even though it might not be in the eyes of the person talking to you, but it is a reflection on you and how you parent.
Oh, they're going to lie, mate. That's the thing. At the end of the day, those people are never going to make out like the kids are as bad as what they actually were. Like if they were their own kids, they would probably treat them differently. And that's where like being an uncle or an auntie, I think is a really important position and role in a family dynamic, especially like in our structure, like where we've got lots of nephews and nieces and then lots of uncles and aunties as well. I think those people can actually be some of the best advocates for how to act and how to be as a person. Sometimes often more so than a parent, because often the child will take more notice of someone else outside the family but still close than their actual parents.
I 100% agree. Like we've had issues with Hayley, and I can tell you now just the opportunities that we've had where she's been able to talk with Hannah, your wife.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
yeah.
It makes a world of difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can often make the parents' job a lot easier, because the uncle or the auntie is not going to beat around the bush. They're going to tell you how it is. And, you know, because they're probably going to, the child is going to probably respect what you say more than the parents. But I can guarantee you that especially in our situation, all the parents are going to, you know, basically say the same sort of thing in the same sort of scenarios.
That's actually one of the things I like about both you and Hannah, is something's up, you'll tell us straight up. It's
100%. But we'll tell the kids straight up too, because it's, you know, because we don't care what they think. You know, if they need to know something, then we're going to tell them, and it's only for their own betterment, whether they think it is or not. That's not the point. We know better.
That's it, mate. Just this afternoon, I saw this video. It's 2 years old, from A Current Affair, about this father who, a single dad, had his 13-year-old daughter lying and doing all this crap that, you know, teenagers do, disrespect and whatnot. And the dad goes, "All right, I'm taking your phone." The daughter's like, "Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to smash it? Oh, dare you to smash it?" Like, you know, pushing the buttons. Unfortunately, it elevates to the point where the dad takes the phone, pegs it at the ground, smashes it. What happens next is really interesting. The kid called her mum that she wasn't in 100% custody with. The mum said, "Call the police." The police got involved. The guy was taken to court and charged with aggravated assault.
For smashing a phone.
For smashing a 13-year-old kid's phone.
Yeah.
Now, the judge, or whatever you want to call it here, or whatever it was, actually took notice of what it was and said, "No, this is rubbish. This is a parent trying to parent a difficult child, blah, 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 blah. Look, we're going to throw out the aggravated assault charge. However, you did damage the phone of a 13-year-old, which I don't get. I don't agree with this part. You're going to have a 2-year good behaviour bond for smashing the phone." Yeah. When it comes to difficult parenting things, have you ever thought of how you would act in a scenario like that as your kids get older?
Sorry, did you ask a question then?
Yeah, I did. Did you not hear me?
Sorry. No, I missed the question.
Okay. So I
was thinking more about smashing phones and
like make good YouTube videos. For yourself, right? Like you don't have teenagers yet. You've got like Emmett, he's approaching the age pretty quickly. But have you ever thought of how you're going to react as a father when you get to that age where those testing behaviors are going to amplify 100% to where they are now?
Have I thought about it?
Yeah.
I haven't, because I think, every scenario needs a different, and every child needs a different sort of approach, you know, with different scenarios. I think it's hard. You can't sort of have a straight, you know, I suppose with certain things you can, but that's on the extreme level.
Yeah.
This is a hard and fast rule about things. I think there needs to be some sort of flexibility and sort of, I don't know quite the right way to word it, but just the way to approach different situations can, you know, just being from male to female, like, you know, from Emmett, you know, to Coco, like there's different scenarios where, you know, you would have to approach that differently, just because of who they are. Yeah. That's why parenting is the hardest job in the world.
I agree.
I don't believe there is hard and fast rules for everything and everyone. You know, there's sort of lines where you got to draw on morality and things like that. But it's a very fluid sort of situation and can change year by year and maturity level by maturity level. As they grow up,
I definitely see where you're coming from on that one. Definitely. So, but with that in mind, do you think that there is any specific roles that a father has to or should play when it comes to the upbringing of their child that, say, would differ from the mother or from an auntie or an uncle?
I think, one thing I've learnt in business more than anything is that leading by example as opposed to authority seems to do a lot better.
Yep.
Certain examples, like especially in the workplace where you lead by authority, it doesn't matter who you are or what position you're in. If someone's telling you what to do and you're not necessarily happy with what you're being told, can often be taken the wrong way.
Yep.
If whether it's right or wrong is irrelevant, but just the delivery is what's important. And that's where, leading by example in the workplace is quite easy, like in my scenario anyway, where I can, just this is how it needs to be done. This is how I do it. I think this is the best way to do it because A, B, and C.
Yep.
Parenting, you lead by example by the way you speak, by the way you act, the way you are in public, where you talk to other people, that sort of thing goes a long way to teaching a child and showing a child what is right and what is wrong. The child's got to make some mistakes along the way too, and that's also, you've got to let them make those mistakes to let them understand too.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big proponent in letting them make mistakes. Otherwise they're just going, oh, I've been told not to do that, and they're just trusting to blindly follow.
Yeah, and more often than not, they don't trust, and they go and do it and hurt themselves or do the wrong thing or whatever it might be.
Yeah, no, exactly. So,
I think that that's one thing that I've owned. I actually said it in to one of my staff members not long ago about the way they lead in situations, and I just sort of come off the cuff, what I just said is that lead by example, not by authority. And that it sort of, I said it and I was like, fuck, that sounded really good. And it's actually what I would prefer and how most people I feel prefer to be led.
Yeah. I 100% agree, because I was thinking about times where I've been in a position where I've been teaching or been leading or been in charge of a project or whatever. There's been a couple times where just because I've been just focused on something else to do with the project, and I've, in my mind, I feel like, oh yeah, I've asked in a nice way, can you please go do this, 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 and this? But then just to be told later, you were really rude when you said to that person, go do this, 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 and this. And it creates that chasm between, within the relationship.
Delivery is massive in anything. You know, you can ask the same question in two different ways and it can get a totally different response. With exactly the same outcome in your mind, but just the way you deliver it can often totally change the outcome the way the person carries out that task. Like if someone's been asked to do something, even asked versus told, can you versus do this, or can you please do this, or would you mind doing it like this? Just that terminology can often be taken a lot differently to do it this way. This is how I want it done. Blah blah, those two different ways of just asking for something to be done a certain way, nine times out of 10, the person's, if you ask, you know, would you mind doing it like this? Or do you think it would be better to do it like this? Or, you know, just that way we'll get a, yeah, I'll give it a go and we'll see how we go versus can, you know, or do it this way. You know, they're going to be like, oh, well, and if they're mind, that's not the right way to do it, they're going to be, you know, spitting chips trying to do it.
No, well, that's exactly right. And that's where it's so important to make sure, like, that, like, for me, I know I have to take focus in how I'm saying things. Like, yep. if I'm not, like, if I'm focused on something else and I say something, it will, without doubt, come across rude or abrupt or...
Mm.
But yep. It's not meant to come out that way.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's something yeah. as a male, like I'm personally always working on it and thinking about that things too. Like it doesn't come naturally for me. You know, I'm always working on that, you know, just as a person to try and deliver things better than what I sometimes do. You know, no one's perfect and no, you know, there's, yeah. It's always something that I'm always working on. I suppose it's my delivery.
No, I think the other thing that also for me is also like the body language that goes along with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like it looks, if you're tired, resting bitch face or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That does come into it. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on real quick is with your lead by example mentality, yeah, as a father, how do you go in approaching disciplining your kid? That the kid's stuffed up, you've got to implement a punishment, what do you do?
Yeah, difficult. I don't really have a good answer. Sometimes you know, I raise my voice and get angry at the child or, you know, and I'm very reactionary to it a lot of the time, which is not ideal.
No.
Usually
and the reason why I'm asking that is because I'm the same person in that regard.
Yeah.
It's that you said this a few episodes ago. I think it was probably even the first or second episode where you said, it's the people we love the most that sometimes get the worst from us.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially our kids, is how we talk to them, how we treat them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all because
there
is a lot of emotion in there. And sometimes when we get to that point where we're yelling at the kids because we've had enough as well.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's no two ways about it. I guarantee you when you're feeling like shit and you're in a public environment, you more often than not put a face on and act, you know, not how you're actually feeling. Whereas in a closed environment, when you're with your family, you often are, you know, just act exactly how you feel, and often that's poor, and then they cop it for sometimes no reason at all.
No, it's like that meme of like this smiling, happy mother in a supermarket. Oh, my kid's acting up. Smile. When you get home, it's the guy from Enter the Dragon going, "I'm gonna kill you."
Raging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, this is all going, like, as you say, we're all developing, we're all learning, we're all growing. And I think I've been lucky enough to notice a change in how I approach parenting, because I was thrown into the mix. I had three kids, three stepkids with my wife brought into the relationship. They were essentially all school age. And I'd come in from nothing, no experience with kids whatsoever. And then a few years with that, learning that, again, not well equipped, not doing the good job here, and then being able to learn and grow with my two boys, with them as they age, which is the most ideal. It's the things that you pick up as you go along and being humble enough to accept your own, your infirmities, so to move forward. Do you feel that, like, compared to where you are with your eldest to your youngest, that you've been able to take lessons from things that's happened with your eldest with your youngest?
Yeah, I have. But also, like, it's funny when you watch those memes on Instagram or whatever about the firstborn, secondborn, and third, and you know, lastborn or whatever. Yeah. How bang on they are, like they're actually smack on. And I think that's just got a lot to do with just generally how you parent. You know, the first baby you sort of hot helicopter, and then the second one is sort of a little less nonchalant, and then the third one, in our case, which is our last one, you know, sort of gets the royal treatment because you know you're not having another one. And but generally they've got an attitude because they're the youngest, and they've sort of got to, you know, not necessarily fight for everything, but they're just the youngest personality. And it's so common throughout all families how similar the traits are when you're the firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn.
Oh, no. I look at Alex and Gabriel, and it's just like Alex is a really well-reserved kid who he's very deliberate in what he says, and he's usually very quiet. Like, I have to tell him to speak up when he's talking to me. Then I've got Gabriel, who is a walking megaphone.
Polar opposite.
Yeah. And it's like nothing's changed in the parenting. They're getting the exact same treatment.
Yeah.
Like, it's because they're close enough in age now where I'm like, all right, you both are doing this exact same thing. Go do it.
In hindsight, though, they're probably not getting the same treatment because they're so different. You know, like, I would consider Alex to be very similar to Coco in their temperament, like very quiet, very reserved, easy to forget about. You know, never really causes you much hassle or drama. You know, it's just very easy parenting. Whereas like Lexa and Gabe are pretty similar in the fact that they're always the noisiest. They're very, you know, they've always got the attention around them. And that just affects, you know, I think they probably get away with things more than they should. And it's, you know, it's just similar. And I think it sort of goes to just how people are as people, you know. You just treat each kid differently because you've had more experience or you've done things differently, or it's not that you care less. It's just, you know, that if they fall over, they're not going to, they will bounce to some degree, you know. So you grow up in that, you get out of that helicopter parenting sort of method and let them actually grow as a person a little bit more individually.
Well, it's funny you say that, because you can see the developmental stages within the parenting between me and Naomi, because obviously Naomi's got 6 years on me when it comes to parenting. And there are still times where we're doing something with the boys. I'm like, ooh, I'm nervous. They're going to hurt themselves. They're going to do this, going to do that. And it's me who's worried. And they're like, no, they'll be fine. They'll bounce.
And if they hurt themselves, it's a learning experience, you know?
Well, that's it. And so far, they haven't broken anything yet. Touch wood. One thing I want to touch on it real quick just before we finish, and because it's more because it's in the news at the moment. There's one thing I wanted to clarify with people, because there's a lot of people getting this wrong, and this is what's coming out of the United States at the moment. So I would understand you've heard about the Roe v. Wade thing that's come out of the United States, correct?
Yeah.
So all these people talking about rights being taken away and all this sort of stuff, I've been wanting to clarify this so much. So so do you know much about it yourself?
A little bit.
Okay. So you understand. So Roe v. Wade was done by the United States Supreme Court, which is a body of unelected people who hold their office until they die or retire. So keep that in mind. This is the very important part. Unelected officials until they die or retire, and it's federal, so it's statewide. So a number of years ago, before one of the Supreme Court justices passed away, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who everybody knows for some reason, actually said that Roe v. Wade was bad law and was doomed to fail because the law itself was actually poorly written. The law was to provide privacy between a doctor and their patients in regards to female health and other things to do with female health, not specifically on female abortion and all that fun stuff that everyone's yelling about at the moment. What's happened, and this is what I think this is the good thing about Roe v. Wade turning, besides my view on abortion, because it's got nothing to do with that. It's about the law. And about parenting, and it's about the Supreme Court, unelected body, giving the decision back to the states to who then get to make their own laws based on people who are elected and representing the people in their state. So, I really wanted to get that out before, because I've been watching everything on social media. I've been yelling at the radio because there's so much misinformation coming out there, and it's happening again. And it was funny. And the reason why I bring it up in a parenting episode, because they were talking about it and in the car, and because it's on everything at the moment. You're listening to any form of news, which is, I try to avoid it, but again, your podcast finishes and you've got to listen to something in the car. And Alex is in there and he was going, "Dad, what? Why are they saying that this, and this?" And it was an opportunity to have an age-appropriate conversation with my son about some really important issues that are coming up. And I dropped him off at school, finished it all, and I turned the radio off when I was driving because I was having this big think about, as we grow and as the kids grow, these really deep, important things that come out are going to come out, essentially, with the kids starting to learn, to understand, formulate their own opinions. Now, from what I understand, you've had similar talks with your kids on certain issues, haven't you?
About abortion?
No, not about abortion. On any, like, main, not talking about abortion specifically, but other issues, like global issues or things that are coming up at that time that
we've had COVID conversations and issues pertaining to that, but I would say that's about as far as it's gone.
Yeah. Have you ever, like, is that something that you think about other things coming up, like, say, okay, like the LGBT agenda or
I mean, I know Hannah, I often catch Hannah, you know, talking about, you know, girls being girls and boys being boys.
Yeah.
But it's, at the end of the day, you still want your children, well, personally, I want my children to we need to equip our kids to make the decisions that are not necessarily correct in our eyes, but are correct in their eyes. But we need to guide them to a point of where they're not going to make some silly decisions, if that makes sense. Like it's a very, very touchy subject. Like you want your kids to have the ability to make their own decisions. And if you decide to make all the decisions for your kids, then when they get into a situation where you're gone or you can't help them make a decision, then they're stuffed.
No.
So it's not something that I never sort of, I'll ask my children questions about certain topics and I don't necessarily guide them into the answer that it should be, but I just question them in a way that might influence their decision, which, again, I'm not necessarily agreeing that that's the right way to do either. I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do either, because I believe, like, as a parent, you just want to equip your kids to be good, upstanding people. And you also want to equip them with some knowledge that enables them to make a decision, a well-informed decision on things that they need to, that they may come across in their life.
Now, I agree. With Hayley, so Hayley's a really good example. She's 13, turning 14, and there's been a few times where we've talked about certain issues. So she's starting to develop opinions on things like religion or not necessarily political things. But she got in the car one afternoon and she goes, "Dad, why do you like Trump?" I've gone, "Oh, that's a fairly targeted question. I don't know if I should answer that to you." And I just, instead of just saying, "Well, here, dot, 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 dot," and goes, "Well," I tell her, "This is what I look for in a leader. I look for this, 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 and this." And I ask the questions. You've got to learn the questions you've got to ask in order to do this. And so she's taken that and listened to that. And then another conversation I had with her was, I can't actually remember the topic, but she came out with her stance. And I've gone, "Okay, cool. Why? Like, solidify your stance with me. Tell me why. I want to hear it." And instead of like telling her she's wrong or disagreeing with her, I wanted her to actually argue her case so she could actually
dive deep into it.
And let her formulate her opinion properly instead of just going on what her friends think.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's often been said that the, you know, not having the right answers is not necessarily the way to, you know, obtaining knowledge, but actually asking the right questions is, you know, is often shows greater intelligence, I suppose.
Oh, exactly. And knowing where to find the answers to if you don't know the answer. And that's the thing, like,
that's the problem. That's the problem with society right there is where are you getting your information from?
Exactly. And I've just not looked at Facebook at all over the last couple of days because it's just made me frustrated. It's like this sheep mentality. Here's the latest trend. Let's share the exact same post 100 times over that doesn't actually argue anything. And it's just this straw man mentality instead of how about you be an individual and think for yourself and not blame a group of people just because you hate they don't agree with you. And I find myself saying it to the kids too. It's like, look, don't just follow what your friends are doing. Think about it.
I think I had this conversation with one of my staff through the week on Friday actually, and we were talking about, you know, that he's actually, Friday was his last day with us. He's moving back to Melbourne. He was forced basically to work in New South Wales because he didn't want to get the jab. And basically this guy's been living in his car while he's been working for me by choice. And, yeah, that's he sort of made that sacrifice to sort of stay in the industry that he liked, and then I was able to sort of offer him a position that was, you know, to you know, that he was skilled at and good at, and to the point where I think now they've relaxed something in the company that he was working for, so he can go back and work there, back in Melbourne, back with his family, his daughter. He was literally living up here on his own, and because he wanted to keep working, but was really against everything that was going on down there. So that was how he showed his dislike, I suppose, for what was being told. But yeah, I had the conversation with him that I think, and the longer this goes on, like the last 2 years, 2.5 years that the world has gone through, I think in the long term is actually exactly what we needed and will prove to be a defining moment as far as we, I mean, this is a big statement, but as a race going forward and, you know, us evolving into whatever we're going to evolve into. And I think the last 2 years has really opened a lot of people's eyes as to the goings on behind the scenes that the powers that be basically try and funnel the human race into to suit themselves.
It has
opened up a lot of people's eyes who may have been naive to some facts or some actual stuff that was happening, that it's actually just made them question what is actually happening. And that's all you can ask. You know, it's not about, you know, dictating terms or, you know, actually people being forced to do things by themselves, but it's actually giving people the, I suppose, strength to stand for themselves and actually then ask the questions that they want the answers for. And if something doesn't sound right, then question it and then do your own research and try and work out what is actually the answer to the question that they're asking, as opposed to just going with the flow with everybody else and all the sheep, you know, just go alone and make your own decisions and do what's best for you, but have some knowledge behind actually what the, you know, the decisions you're making, as opposed to just going with what mainstream media is telling you to do or whoever's telling you. You know, do some research and make some decisions off your own bat.
Well, you can definitely see there's been a big shift when it comes to media. There's like big legacy media companies losing traction and having to cut services, cut costs because they're not.
No one's watching it.
It's not the way that the world wants them anymore. They actually want legitimate news. They want. It's funny. I met a bloke just the other day who is a foreign correspondent who's going to the Ukraine. So he said mid July, he's off there for the BBC, and he's a cameraman.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like, it's not what they show on the TV. I can tell you that now.
No, of course, it's not. Why? What makes Joe Rogan so popular?
Because he's not. He's asking the questions. That's all he does.
That's exactly right. He's asking the questions, whether he likes the answer or not. He's asking the questions to people from all walks of life, and whether he agrees with the answer or not, it doesn't matter.
But the thing
it's the fact that he's got the balls to actually ask the questions, and sometimes he doesn't like the answers.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
But the thing with it, he does, which I absolutely adore, is he will show respect regardless.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like he's comfortable. Is he comfortable enough in his own skin to actually ask those questions that a lot of people are not haven't got the balls to ask? You know, and then whatever the answer is, he's okay, because like you've said before, facts don't give a fuck about your feelings.
They don't at all. That's it. It goes on to this other thing. I know this is like diverge right off the topic, but there was a thing I saw. I'll send it to you. Actually, it's talking about Pride Month and how it came from a person from the LGBT community. He's like, I hate Pride Month because it's not what it's like. It is so arrogant because it's not talking about being humble or being respectful or anything like that. It's being prideful about you and being so arrogant and into it instead of going, you know, I'm humble. What we need is a humility month so we can actually start to think about what we can do to better our community, not just better our own situation. And it made so much sense reading it. I can't do it justice because it was so well written. And it said, how good will the world be if we learn to be humble? Because when we're humble, we're teachable, we're knowledgeable, and we love our community, and we will do whatever we can to better our community.
Yeah.
And it's like, I thought, yeah, it makes sense, because who cares about what people do in their own home? As long as they're not hurting me, I don't care. And I'll never judge anybody by that. I only judge people on how they treat me and my family and other people around them. And that's the only way you should be treating people, like having a view on people.
Or judging people.
So on that, last question for you and then we'll end it. What piece of parenting advice would you give yourself if you could go back in time, what would be the one bit of parenting advice you'd give yourself?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one to narrow down to one. Try and breathe before you react, probably. Yeah. And that's still something that I need to listen to today. Like, it's not something that I'm good at. You know, take one big breath in and out, like all the way in, all the way out, then make a decision on how you're going to react to certain things that go wrong. When things are great, things are easy. But when things are bad, that's when you get reactionary, you get angry, you do things you may regret later. But if you give yourself at least a bit of time, whether 2 seconds in, 2 seconds out, just that little bit of space to react the way you would hope someone else would react to your kids.
That's it. So you're setting yourself up to win, or stacking the deck so you win instead of, you know, immediately going straight in with a hand that could be all twos.
Correct. Yeah.
So, All right. Well, thanks so much, Mitch. We'll catch you next week. And where do you reckon you'll be next week?
What's the date? Hang on. I'll either be here, still here, or Lennox Head. I think I might be in Lennox Head.
All right.
I'll just double check. Where are we? Yeah, we leave on the Sunday. So I'll be on the way to Lennox Head and probably set up by this time next week.
Beautiful. Well, you guys have a safe trip. I'll definitely be chatting to you in between anyway. And you guys, you have a great week. And if
you too, mate.
Yeah, and you guys have a question, you let us know. All right. You guys have a great week.
You've been listening to The Process with Mitch Tasker and Josh Shoebridge. The Process is hosted on Anchor FM. Audio production by Josh Shoebridge. Music supplied by TunePocket.com. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, and all other podcast platforms. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Thanks again for listening.